Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Alistair, yes, Andy. Well, on October 7th at 6 a.m., we're going to be starting the 400th episode of Two in the Think Tank. Oh, what? But why are you telling me this on the 401st episode? Well, that's
the 401st.
Because we're not very good at planning things. But I'm telling you this so that you can, we're going to be live streaming it from Stupid Old Studios. And if you want to watch, you can go to Stupid Old Channel and look at the stream. We're going to be streaming
On YouTube.
On YouTube. That's right. So,
and there'll be special guests from all your favorite local podcasts.
Nick Mason just said he'll do it. Matt Stewart
Cass
or somebody
Page.
From Do Go On suggests they will. Sans Pants people. Lisa Dibb. The whole crew is going to... Seren Jayaman said that...
Evan Munro Smith, Beck Petratus, Seren.
Yeah.
I love Seren. For a person I never see, I think of him so fondly.
It's the fondness is so high.
Yes. He's very easy to be fond of.
Oh, man. He is... He's like... He's very fondful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've got a fond debt towards him. Even when you haven't met him, you're something like, anyway, fond debt.
Whenever I'm near him or not near him, I sense a negative fond gradient, and I feel the fondness being drawn out of me almost by osmosis.
Like a fondness low pressure system. The winds of fondness just blow towards him.
I love the idea of a wind of fondness. We should start the episode.
Okay.
Yes, that we've just done two episodes of Two in the Side Tank, and I think that was one of our opening songs that could have been almost indistinguishable from some of our animal noises.
Animal noises that we do for the side tank.
And you can experience those if you... subscribe to the Patreon. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And let's get straight into fondness low pressure systems caused by Seren.
Well, I guess I am interested in the fondness, but I'm interested in the idea of like a weather system for something other than wind. You know, I love the idea of sort of emotions or feelings being affected by the same kinds of atmospheric things, maybe being predictable. Maybe, you know, you, as well as being a meteorological weather report, you could get a sort of an emotional forecast for the next day about what the feelings will be around different places. It's very silly and very... You know, nothing.
But it'd be a fun kind of satirical thing about mental health.
About weather reports.
And weather reports and about how... And it seems like a distraught sister is circling and that's going to be sucking the energy out of, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sisters. Yeah. Instead of system, instead of a weather system, it's a sister.
A weathered sister.
Weathered sister. Depression? Do they talk about depressions in weather reports? Not really.
God, that would
do
be
they?
Good, wouldn't it? That would make this would be so good. Easy.
They talk about that. I guess.
I mean, if
when
they
they're referring to the ground, dirt,
that's
and stuff.
Right. When dinosaurs walk.
Yeah.
Oh, could we get a weather report guy to talk about the dinosaur steps?
I think. If you were trodden on by a dinosaur, you probably would experience depression. That's probably...
Into the ground.
But
maybe also the fact that it's very sad that your life will not
I think that's a great That's a great cartoon, single panel comic, right?
Single panel,
and which in a way is a type of sketch, right? Okay, so here we go. This is what it is. Bandish. I'll describe it to you. It's a big Brontosaurus footprint, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. In the bottom of the footprint, there is a squashed caveman.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm depressed.
Another caveman is looking over the edge of the divot.
Oh, that's good. Right? He's saying,
"He
represents the audience."
That's right. He's an audience surrogate. Okay. Some might say he's an unreliable narrator.
Is he a narrator as well?
He's also the narrator. Oh. Yes. And he says, "Ugh, you're in a depression. I found you in a depression." Okay. And Ugh, who's the one lying down in the bottom of the footprint, says, "Well, how else do you expect me to feel? I've just been trodden on by a Brontosaurus."
That's good.
What do you think of that?
That's really good, Andy.
Do you think I could sell that to the New Yorker?
Oh, I reckon you could give it to the New Yorker.
And, you know, they could sort of take it, I suppose.
They're more of a one person says things kind of thing. You got to find a city that has two
dialogue,
lines in the newspaper. You know, what's a twin city thing? I think maybe it's because it's just
Albury Wodonga.
Albury Wodonga. If you go to the Albury Wodongan newspaper, I assume if a single city has a single caption for their comics in their newspaper, then a twin city should have two captions in their newspaper. Comics.
Are there many twin cities? I think Albury Wodonga might be the only one.
Andy, what about Budapest?
Name another twin. Is that the case? Is that what that is? Really? Great. I thought the pest was the river.
Budapest, Hungary's capital, is bisected by the river Danube.
Bisected by the Danube. Danube.
Its 19th century chain bridge connects the hilly Buda district with flat Pest. A funicular runs up the castle hill to Buda's old town, where the Budapest History Museum traces city life from Roman times onward.
That was very good, Alistair. You should write encyclopedia entries. That was fantastic.
Yes. Well, I should write Wikipedia entries.
That really rolls off the tongue and into the ear.
That's right. Well, I am a reliable narrator, if I am to be believed.
Are there can things roll off any? Is there any other way that you can express yourself? Ear. You know, to roll off the tongue, but
they
like
roll
you,
beautifully how into the ear.
I think we've already talked about that on the podcast.
I'm so glad we can finally stop talking about that.
But you know, it could if you were expressing yourself in writing, things could roll off the pen. That's almost too literal.
Yes, well,
too obvious
because of the ball pen,
the ballpoint pen.
What about roll off the pencil though?
Roll off the pencil. You could if you were expressing yourself through dance, things could really roll off the leg.
But instead of an ink ball pencil, what about a lead ball pencil?
Instead of an ink ball pencil, what about a lead ball pencil? Is that what you meant to say? These are your words. Instead of an ink ball pencil, how about a lead ball pencil?
Now, Andy, what do you think? Do you think that I meant to say the incorrect thing, or do you think I meant to say the correct thing?
Well, Alistair, I think...
Andy, really... Figuring out what we're talking about is not the job of you or me, but it is for the correctional facilities of our brain, which is part of the subconscious and therefore not us.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
So you know that was not my intention, because in the same way in which what I said was not my intention. You know that the pure meaning is my intention. That is all. The fact that the body fails to get it out.
Yeah, that wasn't you. The bit of the body that failed.
That is the body that fails to do it.
Mm.
You know, if your forklift collapses the entire shelving unit of your factory.
Yeah.
Right? Because of some mistake. Is that what I wanted? Or is that just what happened?
You know, some could say, Alistair, that that was the exact nature of my question. That that's what I was trying to find out.
I know.
By asking you if that's what you meant to say.
And say, you knew the answer.
And some could go on to say, Alistair, that a lot of what we do on this podcast is deliberately saying silly things and getting things wrong. And sometimes the line between a thing that you intentionally said wrong and unintentionally said wrong is difficult to distinguish. And maybe that was the situation that I was in there.
Yeah.
And I think in a situation like the very specific one we just had, where you were jumbling words between concepts as part of what you were trying to say.
That sounds very accusatory. That sounds very conscious, what's the word I'm looking for? Not prejudicial.
Is this what you were trying to say? Instead of an ink ball pen?
Yes, an ink ball, a lead ball pencil.
You have a lead ball pencil. Okay. Also, I have the problem of, like, we don't often talk about an ink ball pen. Right? That's not a phrase people use. So I'm already in unfamiliar territory. It's not like I'm playing with known units of meaning.
Ball pen is a very common ballpoint pen. Damn. But wait, what is an ink ball pen? A ballpoint pen? No, they talk about the ballpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Ballpoint pen. But, you know, that's okay. I just needed to know.
No, that's okay. Yeah, yeah. You know what? This whole conversation, I gotta say, you know, and I'm gonna take responsibility for my subconscious making that error.
You know, Andy, I'll take one for my subconscious. I'll take 100%, I'll be the bigger man.
I'll take 100% responsibility for my subconscious making that error.
And if my subconscious offended you when it said that or upset anybody,
and its subconscious in some way interrupted the flow of conversation, I want to consciously apologize from
on behalf of
my unconscious body
that you
and
felt
subconscious. That you felt that way as well.
I think incorporating the duality of
the terrible apologies
into a bad apology is really good.
It's really good.
I think that's a great new frontier in ways to distance yourself from your actions. The duality. I mean, am I my mind? Am I any part of me? I'm sorry that the sounds coming out of my body upset you. I'm sorry that you felt upset by the sounds that my body made. We are pretty tired and pretty deep into podcasting territory.
We've gone far, but I have not. That what I'm trying to reach for is, did we have a first idea? Because there's still nothing on the page.
Wow, okay, great. Well, I think mind-body duality apologies is an idea.
Yes.
Right? And so that's what we were just talking about then.
That's
but,
very good.
I think also I'm willing to accept that there might be an idea in a pencil. A pencil, if you will, where you use
a rod of pure ink.
I reckon this may already exist, but yes, a nice hard roll of pure ink, that could be something. But then you could have a tube full of ground up graphite that is then rolled onto the page by a little ball at the end of your ballpoint pencil. Right.
Say that one more time.
I think you could have a ballpoint pencil, which I think maybe was the idea you were trying to get at earlier, where you have the tube, instead of being full of ink, is full of ground up graphite. You still have the ball on the end, and you.
Yeah. What I was. And the other thing I wanted you to write down was my guy in the depression.
Ugh. Caveman. I think that's a sketch idea as well.
Oh, yes. Caveman. Squished caveman
in a depression.
Caveman. Depression.
Now, I think it's a shame that cavemen were not alive at the same time as the dinosaurs.
Wait, I have to go back again. I am so sorry. I know I'm interrupting Flo. But what was the thing that you had just said? My brain is now in, I just lose everything instantaneously. You had mentioned the previous thing we had discussed, and it's gone. Not the squished caveman, but the thing before that.
The ballpoint pencil. Oh, yes. This is not really a comic idea.
No.
But maybe it could be.
As in for a comic, for a newspaper?
For the New Yorker? For the Albury Wodonga?
I want you to know, when you said you tried to fix my idea, what you, I guess you interpreted as my, probably my subconscious mistaken idea of a ballpoint pencil. Now, you said a powdered graphite in there, but I want you to know that when I was saying it, the image that was within my mind, and this could be my subconscious's image, I can't label it until I see the public reaction. for sure. Is that, for me, it was a solid rod of graphite, and the ball may or may not grind it down.
Oh, that's interesting. Scrapes a bit off the... So it's really just a middleman scraping a little bit of graphite off the rod and then laying it down onto the table. Maybe that could be quite a nice experience.
It'd be a wet rod.
A wet rod. It could be molten graphite. How do you feel about that? It
could be that there's the graphite and a tube of water in there. Maybe oil. Maybe olive oil. Just a regular binder. As I know from my thesis that I did, my engineering thesis in the whale oil, is the potential of whale oil used in binding oils and colonial print media. What I do know is that oils are often used as binding oils, at the very least in colonial print media. Now, would that be the case in contemporary media,
graphite pencils,
in ballpoint pencils? And could you use potentially whale oil, maybe flaxseed oil, as is more commonly used at the time of colonial times, of course.
This episode has a real tone to it. It has a real energy. There's something going on here. I don't hate it. I quite like it.
Yeah.
But it is,
you know what I think it is,
Andy? A little bit toxic.
In many ways, this is the first, I think this could be the first time I'm using a pencil to write down the sketch ideas.
Okay, that's what it is. That's what I'm picking up on.
This could be you picking up.
I thought there was a pencil vibe to this episode, and I wasn't sure where it was coming from.
Pick up on the things that are the objects that are around me. It becomes very obvious when there's a change in my environment. I'm like a cat. I've become very distressed.
Now I think back, and I'm having a flashback montage of every previous episode of Two in the Think Tank, and I'm remembering
every episode.
Yeah, that's right. Like one after another, I'm being assaulted by these images, and everything's falling into place. And I'm just realizing now that every other sketch idea you've ever suggested has been about a pen. And this is the first time I've realized. Oh, God. Oh, it all makes sense now. My secret has come out. It all makes sense.
What about ink traveling down? What about a little plastic plug at the top, and then a clear plastic hexagonal framework long tube.
The liquid travels down the tube and then is deposited onto the page.
What if a guy, he's talking to his page and black liquid starts coming out of his... He's doing a handstand and a black liquid starts coming out of his mouth. Onto his page. And his name is Big. And there's some big fingers. Just grab him.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Okay. Oh, come on, get it together.
Oh, God. Okay. What was I mean, do you want to try and turn that into anything? It's made me laugh more than anything that's ever happened on the podcast, guy. By the way.
Whose ideas are wait.
I think
entirely.
You could find a way to turn that into a sketch where, like, you know, people are in a brainstorming an idea generation type environment.
It could be academics looking back at different phases of his career.
Yes.
And then you go, and we think that that's because at that period he was using a pen to write his ideas down.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to be just people trying to do a brainstorm, and there's one guy in the room, and all his suggestions are about whiteboards and whiteboard markers and brainstorming sessions and coming up with ideas.
Oh, he's kind of like a powder inside of like a wet material, like a sopping wet sort of sponge inside a plastic tube. And, like, he just presses himself up against a white wall. And as he does so, like, a perfect impression of him is left behind as he drags himself across the white wall.
I mean, that's amazing imagery. And I think I like that a lot.
Did I tell you at some point? One time we were doing Sci-Fi Try Guys.
I feel like I can tell the audience this.
Yeah.
That made me laugh so much I farted.
I'm so happy that you feel so comfortable with our audience that you can tell them that. Look, now that you feel that comfortable, I can tell my audience, which is the members of the audience who are okay with listening to me, that we've had to do lice treatments in our house today.
That's amazing to me. And it's also amazing to me that when you first discovered you were going to have to do lice treatments, you messaged me like, we're going to have to do lice treatments. I don't think I'm going to be able to. It felt like you were saying, I'm not going to be able to do any podcasts tonight.
Well,
I'm going to be doing lice treatments for the next 4 hours.
Well, I thought that we were going to do like the kids and then us. And then I forgot that it just took 10 minutes of having the liquid stuff in your head. But then you got to comb it through, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was very accepting of that, and that you needed the time or whatever. But then it was all over and done with. It felt like in about half an hour.
Yeah.
And it was just. But I know also you don't like having a lot of different tasks to complete.
Man, you know? It's just like having more than one like event in a day is truly like a tremendous ask. And so having to work all day and then having a full night of ridding parasites from your body. You know, whatever.
How big can something be before it stops being a parasite and starts to become a predator?
Well,
you know?
Well, the thing is, I think that if it requires you to remain alive in order to subsist off you, then
yeah,
I guess that's the problem. So then I guess if we ate cows by just cutting off little bits, and we ate slow enough, and
if we just drink their milk, I guess we are being parasites, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're using a cow just for dairy, you have a parasitic relationship with the cow.
With a cow, yeah. I think you're right.
That's great. That's really interesting. That's
quite fun. Do you drink milk? You drink milk, right?
They should call the dairy section, because it's, you know, eggs and dairy.
They should
eggs
call are the in house the dairy section. For some reason.
They should call. Yeah.
That's the fun.
Parasitic aisle.
Like any. And the same thing, we have a parasitic relationship with apple trees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But you know what? You know which ones we don't? Herbs.
Yeah. No, we're predators on herbs. Predators we can feel herbs. Good about that. Herb we're proper
predators.
If only there was a word for that. For a thing that eats herbs. Oh, I guess we'd call it a herb predator.
I mean, I gotta say, it makes me feel pretty tough.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because I'm picturing a guy called Herb.
That's
you picture
good.
Homer's brother?
No, I don't think I was picturing anybody in particular. But now that I'm on the spot, I'm going to say Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
I think I have a Tijuana Brass album. Brass.
I think you probably would like it a lot.
Yeah, no, I do. I just listened to a Tijuana Brass album, maybe with Chet Baker, just the other day.
Yeah, yeah, wow, cool.
But it wasn't as good as I would like.
Cool. For some reason, I was doing a bit of research about Herb Alpert recently and was listening to a bit of his stuff. Came across my radar. I think he looked very good into his old age.
What's his name?
I think that got Herb Alpert.
Herb Alpert.
Yeah, I think he was keeping it real tight, and I think that got my attention.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, the thing is that if you're a jazz musician and you live beyond 60, it's already a tremendous thing. Like, I mean, if you want to have a beautiful experience of looking at somebody, have a Google of what Sonny Rollins looks like these days.
Wow, okay. I didn't know Sonny Rollins was still alive. That doesn't seem right to me.
No, it doesn't feel right, but this is what happens when jazz musicians live beyond 60.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
Our
telling
brain
you
can't handle
I'm not
it.
Telling you that he's absolutely blowing horns right now, but like his let's say his last 15 years of looks have been unbelievable.
Cool. All right, I'll check that out. Alistair, I was saying before about cavemen.
I mean, and about look how at they Obama weren't giving them a medal. Sorry. Apologies. Sorry, what were you about to say?
I was saying we know that cavemen weren't alive at the same time as the dinosaurs.
That's what we know.
But if we ever invent time travel, I think we should take some cavemen back to the time of the dinosaurs.
Fix the error.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Oh, that's really good.
Because I think what we when we think about time travel, we tend to think about us going to different times, right? That's I think of that as first order time travel, us going to the future, us going to the past. But then once we're in the past, we can take people from the past to other points in the past, right, or in the future. And I think of that as second order.
Mm-hmm.
That's a more advanced, higher level form of time travel. Now, where things are really getting interesting, we're really jumbling shit up, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think taking cavemen back to the time of the dinosaurs and seeing how it does play out, is it like the Far Side comics? That's what I'd like to know.
I would like that a lot, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I don't even – the thing is that even if it isn't, could we go back in time and make it so that it is?
Is like the Far Side comics. Yeah. Great.
You know, could we go even further back in time and somehow fix it?
And then we'll be able to look at the Far Side comics and say, wow, these were actually very prescient, albeit prescient about things that happened in the past.
Yeah.
But didn't happen in the past until the future.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. But you know, the thing is that as long as we're fixing history,
because
that's kind of what's missing from reality, is the ability to fix history's wrongs by actually, instead of fixing the present, but fixing the actual history.
Fixing the present, which we're already so good at.
Well, you don't have to fix the present if the past is fixed.
That's correct. Yeah. That's the problem. There's barely enough time to squander as it is.
Squander is such a good word.
If we can go into the past, we'll finally be able to squander all the time.
Could we squander the future?
That's the thing. With time travel, there'll be no time that you won't be able to squander.
We're so disappointed. Not a moment not squandered.
I'm not going to waste a moment not squandering.
Do you think there's a way from the present that you could squander the entire future?
I think we're on that path. I think we're giving it a red hot go. I think it's like anything. The key to squandering the future is to squander the present. That's all you can do. That's all you can hope for. Squander every moment. God, it is fun saying squander. You're right.
Squander.
It's a treat. Whoever worked on that word really
knocked it out of the park. The first bit of it is so bird-like.
Yeah.
Squaw. There's not a bird that actually can pronounce squaw, is there? Like, we say they squawk, but they probably cock or something like that, don't they?
Well, how are they doing the S? That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a lippy kind of.
Well, it's not even lippy, it's like kind of teethy. Tonguey and teethy.
Yeah, it's teethy. Tonguey and teethy.
I think they could squander. They could probably squander.
I don't know if they could. Squander.
Squander. But like, they don't have teeth, so how are they making that really high-pitched S sound?
I think their bodies, I mean, this is the thing, their bodies are so different to ours, they've probably evolved special organs we don't even understand for making that sound. To make that, yeah, exactly, that S sound.
Okay, well, maybe I'm just underestimating.
We've got the wandering albatross. How about this? The squandering albatross. No, forget that. Forget that idea.
Oh, you imagine that I am able to completely erase such a beautiful idea from my mind. Well, good luck to me, Andy. That's what I always say. And good luck to the listeners.
Once you've painted
such a beautiful image into their heads, and now you want them to just delete it.
So, how about this? A hotel rewandering albatross.
Eh?
Hotel rewandering albatross. Now, you know that movie with Don Cheadle. Is it Don Cheadle?
Yeah, Don Cheadle.
Hotel Rwanda.
It's so amazing that he's just American. There was one movie where he was British, and I think most people thought that he didn't have a very good British accent in it. And yet, I only know him as British.
He is British, isn't he?
No, Don Cheadle.
Is he not British?
No way. Because there's that interview with him and the short comedian.
Kevin Hart?
Yeah, and Kevin Hart. Where it's one of the best little moments in an interview where he's like, Don Cheadle is clearly being serious. You know, he's being his genuine actor self.
Serious self, yes.
You know, and then he's like, because, you know, like, I'm 53. And then Kevin Hart goes, damn! And it's a sit-down interview. And Don Cheadle seems very offended about it. And then,
is Kevin Hart interviewing him? Or is Kevin Hart also in the film and it's a junket?
He's interviewing him.
And Kevin Hart just can't believe he's only 53?
He yells something like 53 or 54. And he yells because he thinks that that's really old. And then Don Cheadle's face gets very serious.
Oh wow.
And then Kevin Hart's face gets a little bit serious, and then he says, I'm sorry.
I should check this out.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful moment
As a big fan of Don Cheadle's comedy and
just, Kevin Hart's a guy who's just dramatic found out acting. He's not from Britain. Brittany.
I've always said Don Cheadle's one of my favorite British comedians. So
he's neither a comedian.
Whatever anybody asks me.
He's one of the most genuine people, other than the guy
the
who
rapper
plays,
Genuine.
Plays the song Pony, Genuine, in existence.
Yeah, great. Genuine, the first word is gin, isn't it? Like in gin, it's G-I-N. Gin, you, wine, and then wine, like wine.
I'm going to try to figure this out for you. Yeah, it's gin, you, wine. And we have a friend, Lisa Dibb, who's going to be on the 300th episode. 400th
episode.
Oh, my God. That's an extra 100 episodes. Anyway.
Sketches.
Sketches that we have to come up with, but who reminds us on Twitter, which I also only known as Blue Sky or X, that his real name, Genuine, is Elgin Baylor Lumpkin.
Oh, I haven't seen this. His real name is what?
Elgin Baylor Lumpkin. Is his real name? No. Better known by his stage name, Genuine.
Well, when you say better known, I mean,
I don't know him better. I'm enjoying it much more when I hear Elgin Baylor Lumpkin.
Why do you think he felt a stage name was necessary?
I mean, he thought it was better.
Yeah.
Just letting you know that he's also known as Tornado.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. How many sketch ideas, if you can call them that, have we written down now, Alistair?
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, technically, we've actually written down 5. Oh, my
God. That's incredible.
That's
okay,
actually
Alistair.
A miracle, Andy, because I don't feel like you've come up with that, but that's great. Now, Andy, are you okay if I go to 3 words from a listener?
Yeah, really okay. Okay.
The three words today.
My face is hurting.
Great. That's all I need to know. Mm. All I need to know is that you're in pain, and then I can move forward. I can continue with my life. today's words come from Seon. Now, Seon.
Yes, Seon.
I worry that this is an Irish name of some sort or a Welsh name. And that I'm pronouncing it very wrong. It could be Sean, perhaps. Wait.
Yeah.
Let me just. Sion. No, that's not entirely the same same spelling, but it could be Sion. Just letting you know. I'm just letting you and all the viewers of my audio words know that it could be Sion. Now, Andy, do you want to try and guess what Sion's first of three words is? And I want you to know whatever you say the first thing.
Wow. Okay.
So well, just move
then
straight
I'll
on
think
to
of
the
something else. Okay. Crowbar.
What's that?
Crowbar.
Oh, there's a lot of. There's like a very similar amount of letter placements.
Well, I don't know what that means, but okay, I'll take it.
Fragrant.
Fragrant. Okay.
You know, like crowbar. Yeah, it's almost like crowbar.
Fragrant. Vagrant. The second word is vagrant. Fragrant,
incorrect.
Vagrant.
No, that's very incorrect. The second word is...
still, that would be a
that would be
great
really
name
good.
For a stinky tramp.
Yeah, that would be that would be really good, Andy. I'm sorry, but the second word is flagrant.
No! Okay, is now, the third word
now, what do you
vagrant?
Want to guess is the third word?
Oh my God, I don't think I felt more pressure ever.
Fragrant?
Fragrant?
Flagrant.
Is the next word flagrant?
Andy, what are you doing?
It's vagrant, isn't it? It's vagrant. Is it vagrant?
The third word is vagrant. You are correct,
really good.
Andy. The thing is
really...
that every time you get a word right, neither of us feel the joy that you should feel.
Yeah.
We actually feel disappointed when you get it right. It's like the opposite of achievement.
I think that's true.
It's so weird. This is, Andy, we have put these things in place. These are games. These are the things that are normally put in place for fun,
for
pleasure. For
enjoyment, yes.
And somehow we've created an anti-game.
Well, you've created the game, Alistair, where it's impossible for... It's supposed to be impossible for me to guess it. And then I try to guess it, and I get it wrong, and then you make fun of me for getting it wrong. That's the fun.
Yeah.
Actually getting it right, there's nothing there. There's no...
It's so weird. But it's also that... I think that maybe there's no fun in getting things right in real life. Because there's kind of an order to things. That's fine. Whatever. I think... You know what I think it is? It's because knowledge is kind of, in a way, not entirely your fault. The knowledge that you have is in many ways random, and it's dependent on your upbringing
and your
privilege and things like that. And so I think that knowing things for real is not fun, but then also knowing things by accident is not that fun, other than like maybe it's because you work them out most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way in which it's fun is that if it's impossibly in improbable that you would get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only way that we will experience fun, other than me mocking you for not getting something that's impossible.
It's me guessing a completely random word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think working something out using your brain feels like cheating.
It's cheating. Yeah. It's Don cheating. Don cheatling.
Okay.
That's when you come up with something English that you think is English. Okay, so the words are fragrant, flagrant, vagrant. Right.
Yeah.
Fragrant. I mean, fragrant. Fragrant, vagrant. That's already perfect. You know, obviously, that's a thing that exists in the world. Now, flagrant. Yeah. What entirely does flagrant mean?
What if we start a charity that dispenses perfumes to the homeless?
It's the most insulting charity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has no benefit to them, but in our minds, it makes them less unappealing.
You know what? You know
to
what's
passers
good?
By.
It's a charity that hands out like hampers to the needy. And so sometimes it just gives your husband or your wife some deodorant.
Okay. Because they're considered needy.
Yeah.
Right? Because they needy deodorant.
Because they're stinky. And so they're in need of deodorant, right? But then sometimes it's like, sometimes it delivers food to, to the needy. But then, the thing is that this could just be a perfume company that somehow gets a tax break through giving unsold perfume that's unpopular. Yes. They claim that it goes to a charity, which goes to the needy, but all they do is they get people to tell them if their partner is stinky. Stinky people in their lives. And then they deliver free perfume to them and they can get a full tax break, extra tax break.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy with that. Are you uncomfortable with the idea of the homeless being involved in any way?
I feel like my new version has no homeless involved. It's the
I know.
That's why I changed the word needy.
Yes, and that's why I'm asking you if you're uncomfortable with the homeless component.
No, I'm not. I'm not because I think that it is a funny thing for a charity to try to do.
Yes.
And that maybe they expand to regular people.
Sure.
As a response to them being accused of just basically their mission statement essentially accuses homeless people of being stinky.
Yeah, I think they're quite high-end perfumes in my mind. Flagrant. What does that mean? That means sort of almost flamboyant in
it
your disregard.
Of an action considered wrong or immoral, conspicuously or obviously offensive.
There you go, conspicuously.
I mean, this is pretty much a perfect description of these people who use their charity of to get rid of their unused perfume by giving it to the homeless to make them less stinky. But to have galas, that's the part where it becomes a gala where they're... like where people are getting sprayed and famous people.
It's a nice nice idea, though. Like, instead of everybody being interested in the dresses that are being worn, and there's a televised red carpet event where it's all about the smells, the perfumes that people are wearing as they walk up the red carpet. Now, the people at home, they won't be able to see any of that, but they'll be able to read reviews of the best-smelling
yes.
celebrities.
And they'll be able to, see the faces of the red carpet, nose owners.
Mm. Yeah, nose owners.
Nose owners. people complain that people... they're like, people with womb owners or whatever. What do they call it? What's that word?
People with a uterus or something. Is that right? Or like
something like
person
that?
Person
with a uterus or something.
Person
like that.
Person who menstruates, something like that.
Yeah,
maybe?
That kind of thing. Where like that, people get it really upset or whatever. They're like,
it's so upsetting.
That term upsets me, like that.
I'm
sure people are using that a lot. When they're talking to
in
people.
In their lives, yeah.
And you're like, people with noses. We just prefer to use them as people with noses. It's an inclusive term.
Who does it include?
Everyone.
That's how inclusive it is. That's the whole point. That's what it means.
Because often we say, how do you think that? When you refer to a funk, how do you think that affects people with noses? But I guess it doesn't affect. I'm trying to find a situation in which it affects as peoples who have noses.
I think it is funny to talk about. Well, yeah, I know the smell is unhappy, unsavory to some people. We have to remember though that this only affects people with noses.
That's right.
Like if you're trying to talk down a situation.
That's right.
And we don't want to. Only consider the perspective of nose havers.
Do you think
of the nostrilly privileged?
The nostrilly privileged, the people, the olfactory hold.
The olfactory hold? Do you call the nostril?
I'm trying to say hold as in H-O-L-E-D.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
Oh, the middle feist hold. Look, it doesn't work, but do you think that's enough?
I think it's okay.
Do you think this is the kind of standard that we're going to have in season 4?
I'm excited to find out.
I mean, because this feels like we're setting a precedent. Follow this precedent.
If we set a precedent of
having
this much fun on a podcast,
yeah.
I'm all for it, Alistair.
Great. Well, because I feel with season 3, we tried to like relax things somewhat. We're like, season 3, that's sketches and it's not that important. But eventually, Andy, this is just a talking podcast if we keep relaxing things.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And I think in some ways we've actually stuck to our brief a lot more than a lot of other podcasts.
You know what? Do you think this is the best podcast that's ever been made?
I can't answer that question, Alistair.
No, Andy, tell me honestly. Do you think this is the best podcast that's ever been made?
This episode,
and I want
or this
you know,
podcast
I'm feeling really fragile emotionally at the moment.
This episode or
no,
Two
no.
in the Think Tank in general?
Two in the Think Tank.
I think Two in the Think Tank is the most important podcast that's ever been made. And possibly the
single
most important piece of media.
No, but that's not what I asked if it was important. I said, is it the best?
Oh, yeah, it's the best.
Okay.
I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't the best. If it wasn't the best, I'd be doing
ridiculous.
Some other podcast.
It would seem ridiculous to spend our time doing this if it wasn't the best
podcast. If this wasn't the best, I would go and be on the best podcast. That's why, true. Why would you be on any podcast?
Why would,
that isn't the best
why
podcast?
Why wouldn't you just leave to be on Do Go On?
Exactly. You know, it's like, why don't you build the whole plane out of black box? Why don't you make all
Why don't you build the
all
whole
the podcasts?
Podcast out of Black Andy?
Yes.
That's a really interesting point. All right. Well, I guess I'll take us through the sketch ideas. We've got...
I'm actually a little scared to hear these.
Apologizing genuine for you...
Your subconscious.
For your subconscious and body's...
Yeah. I think this is good.
Yeah,
I
mistakes. Yeah. Then we've got squished caveman depression comic.
That's good.
Yeah, then we've got ballpoint pencil, which is definitely a sketch idea. Then we've got guy whose ideas have entirely come from writing what writing implement he's using.
Yeah, great.
Then we've got and then there's a point at the end where an interviewer asks him, where do your ideas come from?
Yeah, that's really good.
Then we've got time travel so that we can bring caveman to dinosaur times.
Yeah.
And then we've got perfume company who donates perfume to the homeless and the stinky. The whole thing is entitled The Stinky.
That's good, yeah.
Mm. What do you think, Andy? Right. Should we go into the song?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
Are you doing something with a glass? Have you got a glass up to your face?
It's
different acoustic properties.
I was giving it, and I was talking into the glass to give it a little bit of reverb.
Listeners, if you want to know what, if you liked the tone and the vibe of this episode, you're going to love episode 400 coming up in a very short space of time.
Yeah,
it's insane that it's arrived.
We've got less than 2 weeks until it starts. And so get ready, get your lives ready. Let's hope that nothing happens to stop us from doing this.
Start the process of lowering your standards now.
And then
because it can be dangerous to lower them suddenly.
Lower your
lower them a little bit every
and
day.
Increase your anticipation.
So it's not a shock.
Because when you lower your standards, do you think it's impossible to increase your anticipation?
No.
I
think lowering standards could be an important part
of increasing. Sorry, I meant it's impossible to not increase your anticipation.
I think so, yes. Yes, because it's going to, relative to your standards, the show is going to get better and better.
That's right. God, the show's going to be so good with the low standards I've got.
I think that's really good. It's a way to increase the anticipation.
Expectations.
I have been lowering my standards so much for this.
My expectations are
I started
are
lowering
very
my standards
high.
2 years ago, so sorry. You can imagine how excited I am.
I can't imagine this will disappoint me. My expectations are low, but my standards are low, but my expectations are so high.
Oh, no.
Of what you could achieve with such
low anyway, standards.
Andy, we better
And we
love
you.
Bye.